here locally in Salt Lake City and Salt Lake County, our Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox, and Tom Adams, you know, from our recreation office. And so that's who we have on our side of the phone. In a minute, I'd like to have you give me the opportunity to know who's on your side of the phone so we know who we're talking to. I know we don't have a lot of time today, but I want to make sure that our time is as productive as possible for you and for us as we talk about the issues of public lands here in the state of Utah, and certainly the Outdoor Industry Association and the trade show here in Salt Lake City. So with that, could we have you let us know who's there?
Sure, Governor. This is Amy Roberts, and I appreciate the time that you've given to do this call with us. So I'll just introduce our group, and then I think our group will all be able to begin talking as we start discussing.
Amy, can I suggest this? If we could just know who's there, and then let me make an opening statement here to kind of get it started, and then I'd like to turn the time back to you to speak, and then maybe take a few minutes for each one around the table to kind of give me their points of view and the issues that they, as they see it. I think that would be a very productive way to get this going. And so if introduced, then let me give an opening statement, and I'll turn it back to you.
Sure, that sounds great. So we have Gordon Seabury, who is chair of the OIA board and also the CEO of Toad & Co. Daryl Denny's on, who's executive vice president at Emerald, which is the owner of Outdoor Retailer. Rose Macario, the CEO of Patagonia. Scott Baxter, president of the North Face. And Jerry Stritsky, the CEO of REI.
Okay, is that it?
It is.
Okay.
This is Ann Kerchek. I'm here listening in with Scott Baxter.
So you're in another location then?
Yes, we're all in separate locations. The North Face folks are up in the East Bay of California.
Okay. Well, the miracle of modern technology brings us all together, and I appreciate that. Let me just begin, if I could, and again say I'm pleased and honored to have this opportunity to talk to you today. And I know that there's a lot of issues out there. I would dare say that on most issues we have probably agreement. There are some issues that we won't have agreement on. We'll have maybe slightly different approaches and ideas. We're probably not going to agree on everything, but I think we're going to agree on most things as we go through this. Certainly my desire is to find common ground and to work towards outcomes that will be mutually beneficial to the people of Utah, for you in the outdoor recreation industry, and really the people of America too, when we talk about these public lands which are owned by all of us as Americans. I wish we could have met face to face. I think that's better for dialogue, and my hope is this is a beginning of dialogue and that we can have maybe another opportunity to do that. I do stipulate that, you know, communication is tough. We don't always communicate very well in life, and where we've had a failure to communicate, certainly the state of Utah, my office, others have to own up that we have a major responsibility in that lack of understanding or any misunderstanding that maybe occurs in our lack of ability to communicate correctly and accurately. I don't want anybody to think that our critique really of management of the public lands, which is where our criticism has been, doesn't mean that somehow we don't value or understand the importance of our public lands, and certainly we here in Utah, where it's our backyard, we have an appreciation. We may, in fact, take it for granted sometimes because it's there all the time, every day, but we have an appreciation for the beautiful backyard that we have. And I'd like to, and emphasize that point, maybe make three points to you before I turn the time over to you to speak. And I believe this to be true. The first issue is I believe that Utah is unrivaled, I mean, in the world, not just in America, for the extraordinary outdoor recreation opportunities that we have here to offer to the public, to anybody who wants to come, and whether it's our deep slot canyons or our high mountain valleys. We talk about our greatest snow on earth, which is true. Again, we've proven that with hosting the Olympics. Our rivers, our streams, our river rapids, our breathtaking red rock deserts. There is really no place like it on Earth that we call Utah. So I have considered one of my primary responsibilities as governor, and I think I share this with previous governors and others involved in elected office, whether they be legislators or whether they be local county officials, commissioners, or mayors, that we have as one of our primary obligations is to protect, preserve, and enhance those public lands. And I believe that the policies we ought to be developing, that we ought to be advocating for, would in fact do just that very thing: protect, preserve, and enhance the opportunities to have an unparalleled outdoor recreation experience in Utah. Secondly, I think without equivocation that Salt Lake City is in fact a remarkable venue for the outdoor retailer show. Again, I think I know we're not perfect. There's always room for improvement, but it's hard to find a place that has been as I think user friendly as Salt Lake City, where you can fly into our international airport and within 10 or 15 minutes, whether you go by trolley, whether you drive by car, you can be downtown in the venues for your trade show. Within literally minutes, you can be up in our beautiful mountain valleys and wilderness areas, rather than hours that would take in many other states. So the convention, or the convenience rather, of being here and the accessibility to the outdoors is, I think, pretty unique to our state. And we've worked hard, in fact, to provide that. Again, it came with the Olympics, with all the efforts we've made to promote tourism and travel. We spent hundreds of millions of dollars on conservation efforts, on watershed protection, stream access, rivers, outdoor wildlife. Our herds are up when other states, their herds are down, whether it be deer, mule deer, elk, you know, bighorn sheep, our fisheries. We spend $21 million just to promote the Mighty Five National Parks. So our efforts are there, not just our mouths, but our money is out there and trying to work to make sure that we have a great experience here, that it really is Salt Lake City is a very good, convenient, accessible location. And last but not least, and this is certainly as important as anything, the outdoor industry has been a big part of helping create an atmosphere for outdoor recreation here in the state of Utah that's really pretty remarkable. And as you look at the Outdoor Retailer Show and see that it's tripled over the last, 15 years, has been a remarkable example of working together and coming up with something that really has been remarkable. And it's part of our economic expansion. We recognize this as a significant asset to the economy of Utah. It has helped us, in fact, revitalizing such areas as Ogden City, which is now a mecca for outdoor recreation and product development and business success. Summit County, of course, goes without saying, with our greatest snow on earth and our resorts up there. And Moab, which our Red Rock country, which extends way beyond Grand County, but again, as an example of such exciting development that you all have been a big part of. And I think those three things, I believe they're all true. I think it's hard to even argue that they're not, that Utah is unrivaled in the world for extraordinary outdoor recreation. Salt Lake City is a remarkable venue with convenience and accessibility you can't find anyplace else. And you guys have been a big part of our economic success. What I do know is, and I'll just finish on this, is that there is, it seems to me in talking to Amy and others, the biggest area of contention seems to be about this recent designation by President Obama of the Bears Ears Monument. And although we may have some disagreements there, I think, again, it's an area where there's probably a lot more that we agree on than we disagree on. For example, we all agree, there's never been any disagreement on this that I know of, at least from Utah state government officials, that there is a need to have some protection of the Bears Ears area, whether it be for archaeological or geological or environmental issues, the artifacts, the Native American issues there. There is an agreement that there needs to be, in fact, some protection. And I think we kind of mostly agree on even the size of how much that should be. Although under the Antiquities Act, I am cognizant of, we apply the Antiquities Act, that we should be using the smallest area compatible with the proper care and management of the objects to be protected, which I think sometimes has not always been followed. Sometimes we've been a little cavalier in the application, I think, around the country and in Utah on that application. But we pretty well agree that there's an area that's large that needs to be protected. We also agree that part of the motivation behind this is in response to our Native American friends and their view of this
conference recording started.
Our Native American friends, where they have in fact said this, that this is a sacred land to them. And they not only want to protect and preserve the sacred lands and have them treated with some reverence, but they also want to have more to say about the management. They've actively asked us for co-management. And that can happen only with legislation. So we've been trying to respond really to their issues when it comes to the co-management aspect. As we work with the Obama administration, who said to me personally, the best way to do this was through a legislative action. It didn't happen, hence the monument designation, which puts us kind of where we're at here today. So with that, again, I want to listen and learn more about what you have to say, what your concerns are. I appreciate you taking time to explain to me some of the areas where we find difference, and see if we can't find ways to come together for the mutual benefit of all sides of this issue. So with that, let me just turn some time back to you then, Amy, if you can start off, and then I'm happy to listen and to your suggestions, your concerns, and then I'll respond at the end. Amy?
Thank you. You know, I think specific to your comments around bears' ears, and we've talked about this, we agree with you that a legislative solution was an answer, and Congressman Bishop, as we've talked about, had more than 2 years to get a legislative solution put into place, and we worked with him on that until the very end, really mid-December, but he did not get that done despite the Utah delegation being all Republican, and so here we are, and we strongly oppose any efforts to ask President Trump to overturn the monument by executive order. For really, the main point is that it will threaten the Antiquities Act if that happens, and so we don't agree with that. And I think the bigger issue is just efforts over a long period of time in Utah to support legislation and lawsuits and other actions that suggest that it would be better to transfer federal lands back to the states, which we're very concerned about what would happen to those lands, whether they would be sold off, whether they would be open for outdoor recreation. So I think those are the fundamental issues that we're really facing and that we have strong disagreement with Utah policies on. And with that, you know, you and I have talked quite a bit, but I would like to give the opportunity for the CEOs on the call to express their views in this. So maybe I can start with you, Rose, if you want to share your viewpoint.
Sure. Thanks, Amy. And thank you, Governor, for taking the time to talk with us today. I really appreciate it. And I want to say that our employees have loved coming to Utah for the Outdoor Retailer Show. It's a wonderful place to recreate, it's a special place, and we care deeply about it and have been involved for decades in Utah's conservation efforts, including those at Bears Ears. And I think just on this call right now, the CEOs represent a little more than $5 billion in revenue, and it's rare we come together galvanized in this way. This is not a political issue or a ploy or anything like that. It's a moral issue for us, and it's about our passion for wild places and what's good for our business and the protection of wilderness for generations to come. And never really in our history of working in conservation, and we've been working in conservation for decades, with across party lines in a bipartisan way, with hunters and anglers and hikers and photographers and climbers and sportsmen and women. And so, you know, we've been deep in these issues for decades, and never have I seen or has my founder seen, and he's been much more involved for much longer than I have, in the history of conservation has a state sought to rescind a national monument, let alone two, which we're hearing rumblings about GSC. So, while I understand everything that you said at the front of the call, I, you know, actions speak louder than words, and to see a resolution that would rescind the national monument is of great concern to us. And, you know, I think, you know, put simply, this really, the protection of public lands is the lifeblood of our business. We worked very closely with the Intertribal Coalition and feel very strongly that the best sort of compromises were met there on co-management, and really historic kind of co-management. So we feel, you know, we feel very strongly about that around the initiative in general. So I think today Utah still has the opportunity to change course. I hope you do, and grow your outdoor recreation economy. We'll be right behind you. We'll be very happy to make a statement applauding a move to rescind the resolution, but that's where we stand here at Patagonia, and where we stand with our partners here on the phone and with the OIA.
Thank you, Rose. I appreciate your comments.
I can add a comment here. This is Scott Backler from the North Face, and I speak on behalf of our associates and customers, and I think, Rose, you eloquently stated that, and I'm very appreciative of the governor and his staff to take the time to listen to our thoughts today. But we stand strong on that and reiterate exactly what Rose said, and feel very strongly that our associates do too, and all of our customers, and would love you to consider rescinding that.
Okay, thank you, Scott.
Governor, this is Jerry Stresky with REI. Appreciate the chance to visit. I'm not going to repeat some of what I thought both Rose and Scott said that I think is applicable. I think as I listen to you, I hear you talk about federal management of lands. I hear you talk about the size of the Bears Ears Monument. I think it's really unfortunate that that's not how our current situation has been framed. I noted you didn't mention in your comments the recent resolution about Grand Case or Grand Staircase Escalona is just another example of a state action to step in and affect public lands. And it's so important. I think it bears repeating the idea that to us, public lands are the cornerstone of an American way of life. And, you know, we just look at these amazing, courageous leaders over time, you know, Jefferson, Lincoln, Roosevelt. And frankly, it's just puzzling why Utah, with the great legacy that the state has, even the great legacy that you have, Governor, suddenly finding itself in this historic position of being the really sole outlier in a bipartisan environment against it to attack public lands. And it really gives us very little options. And, you know, I think the steps that the outdoor industry is taking right now, there's really no other direction that we can go other than where we are. And we'd sure like to see a way to get to a different place. You know, I don't underestimate the challenge of your job. You know, that there's obviously a narrative going on in Utah that is quite hostile to the idea of public lands. But I have to say that as, you know, leader of an organization with 16 million members, and I think close to 5% of your population as members in the co-op, and knowing how passionate we are about public lands, even the movement, you know, we did Opt Outside this year. We had over 6 million people participate. The kind of activism around public lands and these great iconic places we play. I was in Bryce Canyon before Winter War this year. Cross-country skied the rim, hiked down in it. Stunning, stunning, beautiful place. Why Utah has put itself in this position, I have to say, is honestly puzzling to me. So hope to see you move a different direction, and I would love to see us make some progress.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate those comments.
And this is Daryl Binney with Emerald Expositions, an outdoor retailer. And Governor, you and I did have the chance to talk for a good while. I'm a bit of a time warp. I think it was earlier this week, if I can remember my doggone dates correctly. And, you know, we're the show owners and producers. I'm also on the OIA Board of Directors, a position that I take, you know, seriously. And I just want to reiterate that we are in lockstep with our industry around these issues. They are significant to the point to where if we do not have an acceptable resolution, an outdoor retailer will be moving. That will be a sooner versus later occurrence. We're not the kind of company that likes to, you know, be associated with something that sounds like ultimatums, because we would rather address things in a patient, bipartisan way. But I think it's pretty clear that we're talking about issues that are extremely important to this industry, both from a passion perspective as well as from a business perspective. And so I want to make sure there's no equivocation whatsoever as to what outdoor retailers' ultimate response will be if your ultimate actions and those of your colleagues are disappointing to our industry.
Thank you, Darrell. I think I understand that point of view very well.
This is Gordon Seabury, the chairman of the Outdoor Industry Association and CEO of Coding Co. And Governor, you probably don't remember, but I've been on the board for over 10 years and have sat in meetings with you, with Amy's predecessor, and well, we've had some other situations of similar but certainly not as severe consequences as the ones that have happened in the last several months. And, you know, I think that, you know, first thank you to everybody that's on the call on behalf of the industry as, you know, this represents, and we could have added quite a few more key players. We are coming at this from a united front, but knowing what you know and knowing, you know, some of the conversations we've had in the past, I can't imagine that this is either, you know, either this is not surprising to you because the industry has stood up in every moment that you've been in your role, and the legislature has to know that, you know, where the industry stands on these issues. And the only conclusion I can come to is that we were taken for granted. The show was taken for granted. Our commitment to Utah was taken for granted. And the actions in the last few months were done with no regard or at least no respect for what we bring to the state of Utah, not just in terms of the trade show, but the tip of the spear influencers and the halo effect we give to the state of Utah from a tourism perspective. So, you know, you've done some good things when we've met in the past. But I think, you know, at this point, I don't underestimate that this is as serious as in my career we've, you know, any conversation we've ever had. And, you know, this industry is really in a position where, with the legislature, we don't have any choice. So I hope you understand that. And, you know, I know you and Amy had a productive conversation earlier this week to convey that. And, you know, I'd like to hear what you have to say and where we go from here. But hopefully we can find some common ground.
Thank you, Gordon. Anybody else, Amy?
No, that's all.
Okay, well, let me just kind of respond if I could here then. And thank you. I appreciate your passion and your sincere concern. And I stipulate that you're good people and trying to find the right thing to do. Not only for your own respective businesses and your bottom line there, but for what was good for the industry as a whole, for the association, and for what we ought to be doing for these beautiful, iconic vistas and venues that we have, not only in Utah, but other parts of the country. So I appreciate your input and the concerns. We don't have a lot of time to probably delve into all the whys and the wherefores. But let me just say this. I believe, I take it your word, that this is not a predetermined decision. I hope we're not just going through an exercise to say, well, Utah, we're going to give you a chance, but we've already decided to move the show, and it doesn't matter what you say or what you do, it won't make any difference. So I'm taking it face value and believe that you're saying, hey, there's a chance. I know you're angry. I know you're frustrated. I know you're probably puzzled at best and angry at worst about what's going on in Utah, because we have had a great venue here and you've had great success, and why are we screwing it up here in Utah? Again, you have your own internal politics and business. You understand the challenges of having to have appeal and to those that you represent. I know, Amy, you understand that challenge as the director for the OIA and the challenge, because everybody probably doesn't see this exactly the same, but how do you come together and keep everybody together? I have the same problem as the governor of Utah. We have 3 million people, and under a representative form of government, you know, I have to listen to all of them and try to find out where do we follow the pathway. And again, when I have the Native Americans, for example, say we want to have co-management and we want to have legislation, we don't want to have a monument, you know, I listen to those as well as those who are saying, no, it's fine the way it is. The philosophy that we have in Utah, over time, as I've learned from my own history, over the last 100 years, we've had, probably 5 or 6 different, what they've called sagebrush rebellions, which doesn't mean that we don't like the public lands. It's just that we feel like sometimes the federal government does it to us rather than with us. And you mentioned the Grand Staircase Escalante. That was an example that still has got wounds that haven't healed after 20 years because of a president who did not engage at all the state of Utah or its people, lied to our congressional delegation, Republican and Democrats alike, and the only way the governor found out about it was by reading it in the newspaper. So again, I can tell you that it's been a night and day difference with the Obama administration, but some of those deep feelings about a monument still reside, particularly with a lot of the local people in the rural parts of our state who are struggling economically, and probably they're just angry because of that, and this gets kind of caught up in it. But we've found that, you know, politics swings back and forth, and we see that today in America. It appears, at least to me, we're not as civil in our dialogue and discussions as we ought to be. And, I blame both sides of the aisle for that, and certainly the president we have today is one that's kind of exacerbates the lack of civility. That being said, for me, what I've got to come to grips with is the understanding that if legislatively was the best way to do it in the past, and although we missed an opportunity for a variety of reasons, and by the way, I was involved in some of that, that's a federal issue, but I did have a lot of discussion with the Obama administration, and we came up short. I wish that there had been a little bit more opportunity for them to weigh in on the legislation and come up with an alternative that we could have gotten through, maybe a smaller size or a lot of different options. But nevertheless, a swing and a miss. But at least understand that the intention from the state of Utah has been, if legislation was the best way to do it in the past and you supported that, then if there was going to be any repeal of the Bears Ears Monument, it would have been to replace it with legislation that would have been better. So the hope would be, at the end of the day, you replace it with legislation so you can supersede or repeal the monument. So that's the intent. Whether that's something that's acceptable or not, that's at least understand the background of that. It's not to strip anything away from the monument or the protections. It's really to help accommodate what the Native Americans have said to us. Let me mention, too, you said actions speak louder than words, and I believe that too. But I would hope that when you look at the actions of Utah, that you look at all the actions, not just some. It's when I discipline my kids if they're doing something wrong, and they are quick to remind me, but Dad, I did get straight A's in school, and I'm not all bad. And I hope there's an appreciation for all the efforts we've made on the positive side, and because we have a situation here with the Bears Ears, which is complex and complicated, and people have been upset about those that come in from the outside area and don't want to have a monument in their backyard but say, well, you can have it in yours. You just need to understand some of that frustration that the people of Utah feel, and look to their elected officials, in fact, to make it better, to fix it. But we've done a lot when it comes to conservation. We've done more, spend more money on conservation efforts in the next two or three states in the Intermountain area combined. So, and we have listened, you know, Gordon, you mentioned you've been on the board for a long time. We had the first outdoor recreation office in America as a direct result of our conversations with the board and the desire to have a plan going forward where we actually promote outdoor recreation. And so we are doing a lot of promotion. We're spending a lot of money on providing opportunities for outdoor recreation. And we have not shrunk. There's no intent to shrink the numbers of public lands out there. We understand the benefit, and whether you're here or not, you know, the 15 million additional public land acres that we have here in Utah over, say, Colorado, which is, I keep hearing them thrown into the equation, is not going to go away. It's not going to change. We believe, like you believe, that public land should remain in public hands. And it's always been about management. It's not really been about ownership. I'm looking forward to, and I think you have been supportive of the designee, Secretary Zinke, for the Interior position. I don't know that for sure, but once he gets confirmed, we anticipate inviting him to come out to sit down with all of us, and that would include you, and say, let's take a look at the bear's ears and say, what is the best thing to do out here? We know what the goals are. We have the same goals. We only differ on process and maybe the vehicle to give the enhanced protections that that area needs. So, again, I think, at least if you're looking at our actions, please look at all of our actions. I don't, maybe again, as part of messaging, I think there is some, I can understand the perception we've taken you for granted. I hope that's not the case, but if our language and our messaging, our comments have not been appropriate, I can understand why you would think that to be the case. Again, I'll use a family example. My wife asks me all the time, you know, why don't you tell me you love me? And I, well, don't you know that? And she wants me to tell her more often, and I should. And so I think that's an example that sometimes we do not express ourselves. We don't communicate as often or as well. And I certainly want to say if there's anything that's come out of my office, again, I don't like to negotiate or discuss things through the press, because the press tends to find the one statement which may be a misstatement or highlight something that makes it a controversy. And so we don't want to litigate things in the press. We need to have, in fact, good, meaningful, respectful dialogue and see if, in fact, it's not a predetermined decision here, to see if we can't find the common ground. And we want you to stay here. We want you to stay in Utah. We think it's in our best interest to have you here. We actually believe it's in your best interest. Go ahead.
Governor, this is Jerry Kriske. I've been listening closely, and I don't think I've heard you indicate that you're going to change position on the current recommendations that have come out of your legislative process about asking for the monument designation to be rescinded on bear's ears. I just want to make sure as we walk away from the conversation, I heard you correctly.
Well, you're right. You have not heard me say that. We have kind of history. If I could get a time warp, maybe go back and make some changes. But the process that we need to go through here is after we have your input, we'll be talking to legislative leadership. We'll talk, the resolution really means nothing. I mean, there's no teeth to it. This issue has to be addressed back in Washington, D.C., and again, the motivation behind this was to, in fact, address the issues of protection and giving co-management to the Indians, which is what their elected representatives have talked to us about doing. So it's not a matter of me saying, well, I can just flip the switch here. It's a matter of having some discussion and seeing what we can do to come together. So please allow me a little bit of time for that discussion to see what we can do. But, it's not just me. It's a matter of our legislature, our local elected officials down in the Bears Ears region, and and our federal delegation, all working together in concert. At the end of the day, though, what you're wanting, at least what I've understood from your comments, is that you want to have enhanced protections there in the Bears Ears region of that 1.35 million acres. And you originally thought legislation would be the best way to do it. We also agreed with that. We think there's an opportunity to, in fact, have legislation to protect that and give co-management to the Indians. And that's the motivation. That's the only reason to take away the monument. It gets us to where we thought we wanted to be. But that's part of the discussion and see, okay, particularly if we talk with, have Mr. Zinke come down as the interior and sit down with him, he might say to us all, you know what, the monument is really the best way to go. And we say, okay.
Thank you for your time.
Yes.
Again, just allow me time to work through the process and the system here. Again, as much as I'd like to be a benevolent dictator, and I would be very good at that as governor, there is a process I have to go through with the legislature and those that are involved to hopefully find a resolution to the challenge that you're illustrating here today. Let me suggest, though, as a part of going forward, which will help us to get to where I think you want us to get to, and that is we need to have additional discussion. I mean, negotiation kind of in various stages of negotiation. And there's the beginning where everybody's angry and frustrated and mad. We need to get
back. Frankly, speaking for myself, this is Jerry Spritzky. I think that you keep talking about what we want. We have a monument that provides the protection that we want. And it doesn't feel like, you know, back to actions over words, that there's any, I'm hearing anything here that leads us to believe that we're going in a different direction. And just like you, we do all have constituencies. And, you know, right now, there's a large yammering for us to act and, you know, on our beliefs and around the courts of public land. So I feel like we're in very different places, focusing in a different direction.
Well, there might be 100 issues out there, and if the one issue only is the Bears Ears and whether it should have protection with legislation or a monument, that's the issue I'm trying to find a way to resolve, because all the other issues we're doing pretty darn good job of. And again, I understand that this is a big, big issue for you, but I'm willing to have the discussion and see what we can do as a state to help resolve that, which would include, you know, maybe we need to have a repeal of the resolution. But more important than the repeal of the resolution is, do we have enhanced protections for the Bears Ears? You may think it's great, but there are people that are involved in that in their backyard that think there's a better way to do it. So as a representative of and elected by the people down there, I've got to not just unilaterally make a decision. It's got to be in conjunction with them where we can build some consensus as far as the pathway forward. So all I'm asking for is give me a little slack here on that issue and see what we can work out. Is that unreasonable?
Well, Governor, this is Rose Marcario. I think, you know, from our perspective, it would have been nice to have these conversations before a resolution was passed to rescind a national monument, which is, as I said, a historic action. I mean, nothing we've ever seen in the conservation movement. The outdoor industry is deeply tied to conservation, as I said, in a bipartisan way. That's something, you know, we've never seen. We're also hearing about a resolution around the Grand Staircase Escalante that would, as I said, be number two. Incredibly concerning to us. We know from working on these issues that these monuments are always issues. You know, some people end up happy with how it is parsed out and some don't. But the long-term vision of these being public lands for Americans to enjoy generation after generation, and protection of wilderness is really at the heart of what we're talking about here. And history shows that if these lands aren't protected, they're usually sold to the highest bidder for some kind of, you know, often energy development or mining or something like that. So, you know, from our perspective and from our constituencies, our millions of customers, our NGO constituents, from everyone that touches our brand, there's a great level of concern that the idea of a national monument would be attacked in any way. And the possibility of unraveling other monuments around the country is also a great concern. So, you know, actions speak, as I said earlier, and the actions of the Utah legislature have spoken on rescinding a national monument. And it's, as I said, of great concern to our industry. I have never seen our industry galvanized in this way. I've been working in it for almost a decade now. And we're not often on a call like this and together, but we feel very strongly about this issue.
Believe me, I understand that. And you just, again, I'm trying to find a way, a pathway forward to help resolve and get to the point where both sides would be happy with this. And that probably is going to take some time, a little additional time. I know we don't, time is not our friend. We want to get this done. And Rose, I agree. I guess it would have been nice if we'd had this conversation, you know, way earlier than when we had legislature in session, and feelings were high on this side, just like feelings are high on your side. But we have passed over time probably over 20-some-odd resolutions regarding these issues. The Grand Staircase was one that came to litigation, but we resolved that with negotiation. But again, the challenge that we face, I don't know if people recognize the magnitude of the size of these monuments. And yet, the Antiquities Act, which, again, I think the Antiquities Act is great. I don't want to, the accusation of gut the Antiquities Act, but we ought to follow the Antiquities Act as it gives us direction. And it says that it should be comprised of the smallest area necessary to protect the objects that we're trying to preserve. And if you look at the Grand Staircase, that's clearly not what happened. It's way over than what the artifacts that ought to be protected there are. And that's part of this history of people saying, my gosh, you know, when you have 1.35 million acres on the monument, that may be the right number, by the way. But for some out down south, they look at our largest national park, Canyonlands, is 337,000 acres. Arches is 77,000 acres. You could take all of our parks and put them in half of the Grand Staircase. I mean, it doesn't appear that people really have been following the purpose of the Antiquities Act, and that's caused some concern. So some of it is, you know, like you've said before, it's kind of how you say it and how you present it as much as what you actually do. And we've got to work with those who feel like they've been hard done to and see if we can bring them around. And that may lead us to a repeal of the resolution. But at the end of the day, I would think that what everybody wants to have, if we're going to be, you know, actually intellectually honest on this, is the protection, whatever vehicle. I mean, our parks are now all protected by legislation. We ought to have a more permanent peace in place, which would be legislatively, would protect the bear's ears. And unless we're giving just lip service to what we've heard from the previous administration, we're doing this on behalf of the Indians, there ought to be the ability for them to have co-management.
Governor Herbert, this is Darrell. You mentioned the opportunity to meet at some point and involve presumed Interior Secretary Zinke,
yes,
as a means to perhaps get to an eventual end that would be agreeable, and that may or may not, you know, be true. But I guess the point that I would make is that if there is any opportunity for that to actually result in a positive end, then I would have to say it would be counterproductive to be pursuing, whether that's a request of the current presidential administration or whether that was action by part of your congressional committee, to anything that essentially would require this industry to respond in a definitive way. So if in fact you are looking to get to and feel like there is time needed to get to some kind of better end, then I think there are certain actions that need to be thought about and need to be thought about swiftly, it would provide an indication that perhaps there is a path, because if not, then it's going to come across as empty words. That's just, I think, in my opinion, that's just sort of the brutal reality.
Well, I guess the proof will be in what we do, and I'm just asking for us to have an opportunity to do something that's rational and reasonable, meaning that we need to have some time it's taken us many months to get to where we're at now, and for me just to say, well, I can fix that today is probably not realistic. And I have the same goal.
Governor, this is Amy. I just want to say, that we don't feel like we have time, because even this week, the Utah legislature passed through the House Approach Committee a bill that would give money to fund local groups who basically file lawsuits on bears' ears. And I think even more importantly, and in a broader issue, the whole state take back issue and lawsuits around whether land should remain federal. And we know that we've seen that next week, it sounds like you're going to Washington, D.C., and you're going to be talking about this issue possibly with Interior Secretary nominee Zinke, possibly the president during the governor's meeting. So, you are the leader of the Republican Party in the state, and I do think it's incumbent upon you to take a public stance on this issue and show leadership here.
Well, Amy, I don't know of any appropriation that's designed to give money to people to sue on bears' ears. We do have litigation funds that we always have a stockpile of money for issues that come up, that for constitutional issues, defense funds, etc. But I don't know of any money being set aside for specific lawsuits against bears' ears. I don't know if anybody even knows about a need to do that. I think the intent has always been to negotiate, as number one. We always do that on the public lands issue. The second thing is to, in fact, legislate, if we can find a better way to do things legislatively. We do have some litigation. We've had money for RS-2477. We've tried to negotiate that out and work very closely with the BLM and the Department of Interior to negotiate out the RS-2477 roads and rights of way. And we've had minimal success, mainly because the opposition wants to litigate every road. We're ready to trade out those that are obvious roads and those that aren't obvious roads, and maybe have litigation for those in the middle. But that takes some time and money. So again, I don't know of anything that's being done or set aside specifically for bears' ears. That's news to me. And I understand that this needs to be done timely, and I'm happy to work as fast as I can. But if this is the only discussion that we're going to have about it, I think we short-circuit our opportunities to have meaningful, in-depth discussions, and in anticipation of culminating with Secretary of Interior designee Zinke, which can maybe help us find the pathway that's mutually acceptable. If this is about, I don't know, if this is about messaging, if this is about we're too conservative in Utah, we certainly have a kind of rugged individualism aspect to our politics and our culture, then maybe there's nothing that we can do to resolve the issue. But I'm willing to at least try, and if we run out of time, we run out of time. I do want to find the win-win. I don't want to go to the lose-lose, and I'm hopeful that we can find a way. I'm just puzzled about if we can find a way to have all the protections you want and maybe more, and accommodate the Native Americans, that whether it's called a monument or whether it's called legislation of the bear's ears, which is, like we can name it a park. And why would it make any difference? I don't quite understand that aspect of it, because we get the same outcome. And that ought to be kind of a win-win for us all. But I'm happy.
If that's the case, Governor, why wouldn't we keep the monument?
Because
we have the protection now. This is Rose Marcario, by the way.
Rose, let me just say there's differences of opinion on that. You have one, and I respect it. We have attorneys, and we have members of the Native American tribes that say we're not going to get the co-management we need to have unless it's put in legislation. And so they would like it to have it done that way. And again, if it's just going to be the title that's going to be the stumbling block, that would be disappointing. It ought to be the substance of what we end up doing that ought to be what we base our decisions on.
This is Gordon from the OIA, and I think to your earlier question, the train has not left the station, and we are here in good faith to see what action you're willing to take on our behalf, and based on what you heard today. So I think you need to know that, but from a time standpoint, unfortunately, we weren't reached out to, we weren't a part of this dialogue, and what's happened in the last few weeks has put us in a position where, frankly, you probably have a week or two to come up with a strong statement and get support for whatever statement you're willing to make in order for Utah to be included in the RFP process for where the show ultimately ends up. And then if you can do that and you're part of the RFP, then I think you're looking at 60 to 90 days before we make a decision and some significant additional action must happen.
Well, I can tell you...
And I would add... I'm sorry, I would just add one more thing to that, and it, essentially that thinking is also around the RFP around Intrabike, which is, before this happened, Utah received an RFP around the potential of being the host city for Intrabike. So I have to say that...
Lost you, Daryl.
Do we still have
Hello?
A call?
Anybody there?
Yeah, Governor, I'm here. This is Jerry. I'm still here. I don't know. We lost half of it. Amy,
no,
here.
We've got the...
No, we're all here. I think you just lost
Daryl. Okay, Daryl was speaking, and then all of a sudden he dropped off. Is Daryl still there?
Right.
All right, Daryl.
No, it sounds like Daryl. We lost Daryl, so we should move on from there.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll try to catch up with Daryl. Again, my hope was, I would like to think that we could be included in the RFP process. I mean, I didn't know if I understood right that we'll be excluded to be a part of the RFP. I think we have a lot to offer that ought to be considered, That being said, I would like to have had an Amy coordinate a small group of us, at least on our side of the table, the Lieutenant Governor and Tom from our recreation office, maybe Vicki Varela from our travel and tourism, and one of my deputy chiefs of staff, Paul Edwards, here, to meet with whoever you'd like to designate as soon as possible so we can see what they're the potential options for us and what do we need to do as I then proceed to work with our legislative leadership here at the Capitol, with our congressional delegation, with the local people that we represent down in the Four Corners area in southern Utah, and see if we can accommodate your requests.
Governor, Go ahead, Amy.
I think you can speak for the industry here.
Yeah, I just think that we've done that with Utah over a number of years, and I think the time for a working group or some other method to delay really is over. And it is now time for you to show leadership on this issue. And like I said, you are head of the party, and so it's your choice. But we're out of time, and we're also concerned about the continuing actions that we see coming out of the state. And knowing that there are efforts to ask President Trump to rescind this monument, we don't have time to do a working group.
Well, that's disappointing, Amy. We're trying to deal in good faith. You say the train hasn't left the station, and yet we own up to the poor communications on our side. But clearly, if you're asking me to say that we're going to rescind the resolution, I can't do that if I wanted to. I can't, the congressional delegation have their own independent elected offices, and I can't compel them to do it. I am prepared to work with them and tell them the situation and see what we can do. But if you're giving me an ultimatum here on the phone, then the answer is I guess we're going to have to part ways.
Thank you for your time, Governor.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Governor. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.